If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to the book of Ephesians. I'll read a couple verses, then we're going back over to chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 3 is where we'll read from to begin with. And the Bible said in verse number 20 and 21, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." That means even today, don't it, that God wants glory in the church throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen. Father, tonight I need your help. Lord, make this pastor a blessing to these precious people tonight. And make the Word of God alive to us. Challenge our hearts tonight from the Word of God. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the church at Ephesus. And Lord, I was just reminded in prayer that it was that church, our Father, that left their first love. Oh God, tonight, Lord, as Brother Jason and Abby sang, "He loves me." God, help us to never get over that. And always remember, Lord, that we love you because you first loved us. Lord, if our love begins to get cold, would you help us? Would you help us, Lord, like the church at Ephesus, to remember and to repent and to return and do the first works, our Father. Lord, I know tonight that many people are hurting in our country. I pray you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, tonight I want to go back over. Let me see if I can find my handkerchief. There it is. I want to go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. I don't know how God's going to do this, but it seems like that he's just helping me. I read completely through the book of Ephesians today. And it's just like it's good and gooder, amen. The further you go, the better it gets, amen. And there's all kinds of reasons for you and I to give God glory in the church. And last week we began to talk about the apostleship of Paul, and he was apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And where this is stemmed from is the recipient. We talked about the time for this glory in the church. We talked about the marks of this glory in the church. And now we're talking about the recipient, the one who receives glory. I tell you tonight, God deserves glory. He desires glory. And I know this is maybe a little bit hard for some to understand, but he's already determined glory. You remember the Bible said at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father. He's already determined. And I just want to get in on it. You remember what Jesus told the disciples? He said if these would hold their peace, he said the rocks would cry out. I don't want no rock crying out in my name. Say amen. I want to do my own praise, and I want to give God glory. He's been good to me. My wife's talking to me coming across the road. She said, "Honey, God's been good to us." I say, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he has. Amen. We've got food on the table and shoes on our feet and clothes on our back. And every closet in our house is full of clothes. We have to rotate them. Amen. I'm telling you, God's been. Anybody else got that problem? You women can't find a pair of shoes on Sunday morning, amen, because it's hard to find one among 75. Say amen. And but God's been good to us and good to be in his will. The Bible said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Last week we looked at how thrilled Paul was to be in the will of God. And I want to start tonight and just give you a few verses of Scripture. Beloved, Paul's not the only one that should be thrilled to be in the will of God. Every one of God's children ought to be thrilled to be in the will of God. You know what will happen when you get in the will of God? There will be an overwhelming peace in your life. You know what will happen when you get out of the will of God? Somebody help me tonight. Say amen. Your joy's gone, ain't it, Brother Gary? You've told me that your peace is gone. Amen. You don't have no desire to do anything for God because you're not in His will. His will is very important to the people of God. Jesus said in Mark 3:35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." The Word of God said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice." We could have revival, but I tell you what, listen, I said this the other Sunday, the pride's got to go. Amen. Ain't nobody in their pride going to say, "God, here's my body, take it, do whatever you want to with it." But beloved, when that pride goes and we humble ourselves and we say, "Jesus, without you I can do nothing. And Lord, I'm bought with a price. I don't belong to myself anymore. You own me. You bought me." Amen. If you think about what happened, He actually bought us out of the slave market. He bought us off of the auction block. We want nothing to look at. We want nothing, beloved, listen, to desire. But He knew what we could be when the blood of Jesus was applied. Amen. And we've been saved by the grace of God. He said, "Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." A lot of people in this generation act like it's unreasonable. I'm telling you, God don't say that. He said it's reasonable, amen, to serve God. And He said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I'll say something tonight. It's one thing to talk about the will of God, but I tell you, it's another thing to live a life that proves it out. In other words, beloved, listen, somebody can look from the outside in and say, that man's happy, that woman's happy, that man loves the Lord, amen? That man's given God the glory because he's in the will of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 10, we're just talking about the will of God. You say, "Preacher, what's that got to do with anything?" You ever get in it, you'll want to give him glory. There'll be glory in the church when you get in the will of God. Amen. Two precious couples in this church have been faithful to that tent meeting. I texted them both this morning and said, "Listen, you have pastor's blessings. The primitive quartet's going to be over there. And if you want to go tonight, you've been faithful to that tent meeting. Just go on. You have my blessing." Amen. And they're both here tonight because they know that's where God wants them to be. There's a lot of people just looking for a way to escape, and others are looking for a way to get in and get in on what God's doing. Making requests, Romans 1:10, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Even Paul realized, beloved, that it was God that prospered him when he was in the will of God. Think about prayer in the will of God. He said, "He that searches the heart knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Ain't that good? I'll tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, I've missed God's will in prayer before, but the Spirit of God never misses God's will in prayer. Amen. That's why I said some of the best praying we'll ever do is when we can't get a word out, when our heart is so broken that the Spirit of God makes intercession for us. Amen. And the Word of God said, according to the will of God. Amen. And then the Bible said, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Beloved, prayer is not a blank check. Prayer is being led of the Spirit of God to go into the throne room of God. And when we're being led of the Spirit of God in the throne room of God, beloved, it ain't the things of this world that we've got on our minds. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. You and I might fight materialism, but the Holy Ghost don't fight materialism. He's not materialistic. Amen. The things of this world don't mean anything to the Spirit of God. When we're being led by Him, He'll help us in that prayer closet. The Word of God
talks about joy in the will of God in Romans chapter 15. These happen to be all verses that the Apostle Paul, God used him to pen down under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, that you may be refreshed. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 5, this they did, not as we hope, for they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Ain't that good? They were surrendered to God in His perfect and precious will. Dealing with sin, who gave Himself for our sin. That's Jesus in Galatians 1:4, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Beloved, it's the will of God for us to be delivered, not in sin, but from sin. Say amen. The Bible said here, He gave Himself for our sin, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Another text in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You say, preacher, you shouldn't even have to mention the word fornication among God's people. Then why does Paul do it over and over and over? You shouldn't even have to mention adultery. Why does Paul do it over and over and over? I tell you why. He knows we're not home yet. He knows we still got flesh. Amen. He knows, beloved, that He has to warn us about the sins of the flesh. Because when getting the sins of the flesh, we'll be out of the will of God. We'll no longer be God, giving God glory in the church. I'll tell you tonight, beloved, it's a blessing tonight to know God's will and to do God's will. Ephesians 6, I think this is important. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Watch this now. Doing the will of God. Watch this. From the heart. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I've said this for years. The judgment seat of Christ will bear it out. God not only knows what we do, but God knows why we do it. Are you listening to me tonight? It's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Listen to me. Not every politician, not every businessman, don't you put them all in the same barrel, and please don't put all the preachers in the same barrel. But I tell you, there's some that go to church because it's good for their business. It's some that goes to church because they figure they can get more votes that way. I'm going to tell you, the judgment seat of Christ, there's preachers that will preach, amen, because of a salary or because of benefits or because of a title or because of prestige. But the judgment seat of Christ will bear it out one day after a while. It'll bear it out. It'll bear it out. Doing the will of God from the heart. Then the Bible said this. Watch this. One way you can know that you're really doing God's will is when you're giving thanks, Brother Preston. When you bow your head and say, God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for a roof over my head. You say, where'd you get that? The Bible said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want God to show up. You bow your head, you bow your heart, you bow your knee, amen, and just start thanking Him. Listen, sometimes I just actually come into His throne room and say, Lord, I don't want to ask you for anything today. I just want to thank you for what you've already done. I just want to praise you, give Him glory tonight in the house of God. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 36, you have need of patience after you have done the will of God that you might receive the promise. Some people get a little antsy, amen. But listen, God said we needed patience. He said, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You see, Miss Eve and I, God's blessed our garden again this year. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but He has blessed it. I'm telling you, it's just coming out everywhere. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We couldn't put taters in the ground one day and expect to eat taters the next day. It takes time. You can't put the beans in the ground one day and expect to eat them the next day. But I am hoping that the quart jars will last until them start coming in. Say amen. From last year. Add the okra and the tomatoes and the, you all don't know what tomatoes is. I forgot we're in the South. The maters, amen. and the taters, amen, and the okra and all that good stuff. Thank God after a while, Lord willing, it'll be coming in, amen. I didn't plant any corn. Where we live, there's a farm that does that, and you can get it pretty cheap. And I'm trying not to attract the raccoons out of the mountain over there to my garden and the deer, because I wouldn't want deer season to have to come in early this year. Amen. And David, watch this in Acts chapter 13, verse 36, and I'll move on to something else. And David, after that he served his own generation, the Lord used this phrase, by the will of God. David served his own generation. By the will of God, he fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers, and he saw a corruption. Let me ask you something tonight. When you breathe your last breath, how many believes we're going to be glad we did the will of God? When we get to where we can't go to church, where maybe our legs, Brother Junior, won't carry us anymore, or our health won't allow us, how many believes we're going to be glad we went while we could? Say amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm concerned about some folk. And I mean that tonight, beloved. Listen, there's people in this church more able to be here than I am tonight, more able to be here than you are tonight. And I believe with all my heart, if we'll pray, God will begin to get a hold of hearts. And they'll understand they're missing something. Amen. There ain't no way you can have the joy that you're supposed to have watching some program on Wednesday night or being at some ball game on Wednesday. Say it, man. Ain't no way you can have the joy you're supposed to have if you're not doing the will of God from the heart. Watch this now. The Bible said, "Hear unto the faithful in Christ Jesus." I could preach on that a while, but I'm not going to. I just want to stop and give Him glory, because He's the only reason we're faithful tonight. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be faithful. If we was left to ourselves, we'd be just like a book of Proverbs said, just like a young'un left to himself. He brings his mother's shame. Amen. We'd be bringing our Heavenly Father's shame if we was left to ourselves tonight. So we give Him glory that we're faithful. I want to give you this tonight, and then maybe next Wednesday night we'll move on. But in chapter number 1 and verse number 2 here, the Bible said, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let me say something early on right here about this verse. There's only one source of grace, and there's only one source of peace. That's God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people looking for it in a bottle. There's people looking for it in pills. There's people looking for it in the bed. There's people looking for it in their business. There's all kinds of people looking for peace. There's people looking for peace in the stock market. There's people looking for peace at the horse race, amen, to trying to win a big lot of money, maybe betting on a horse. But I'm going to tell you something. The only real peace that you'll ever have is in Him. The songwriter said it years ago, and he got it right. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in You. And we know that tonight. And the Word of God, I want you to see this here. Grace to you and peace. I want you to notice something, if you will, that it was actually brought to my attention a little while back, and then I began to look up scriptures to verify it. But I want you to look at the order. Grace comes before peace. You see, grace, there's an acrostic for grace. Most of you have heard it, I'm sure. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. The songwriter said it like this: Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So grace always comes before peace. And I want you to listen to these in these verses of Scripture. He said in 1 Timothy 1:2, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." You say, "Preacher, why is it some people never have peace? They've never met grace. They've never been saved by the grace of God." If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you'll never have... Listen. I'm glad. Listen, I know what it was to be a church member for 6.5 years, to be faithful to every service, every revival meeting, to do all kinds of work in the church. I know what all that is, but I also know that I did not have peace. I had to come clean with God. A sinner had to come to the Savior. Let me say something. Don't let this confuse you. We don't get saved confessing sin. We couldn't remember them all, Brother John, if that's what it took to get saved. We get saved confessing that we're a sinner. We're lost and undone without God or His Son. And we get saved when we come to that place where we realize we can't help ourselves. And the grace of God reaches farther down than we can reach up. And God in His grace saves us. And then something floods our soul. I hope you know what I'm talking about today. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The first thing you do is you make peace with God. And then you get to enjoy, as you do the will of God in your life, the peace of God in your life. Let me show you this here. Look at this order. In 2 Timothy 1, 2, I told you that one, grace, mercy, and peace. And in Titus 1, 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you think that's important. It don't say mercy, grace, and peace. It don't say peace, grace, and mercy. I think it's important because that's exactly how it happens. When by the grace of God, a person meets Jesus, the next thing he's going to experience is a peace that he's never known before. I've told this before. I won't take a lot of time. It's almost 8 o'clock already, but I'll go a few minutes over tonight. Listen to me. I've told this before. My first cousin had his nose right in 1 John. He got down to the coffee table and said yes to Jesus and asked Jesus to save him that Tuesday night after I saved on Sunday night. And I like to leave people with assurance. I want them, listen, to know that it's not because you prayed a prayer, but I want them to know that it's Jesus. Amen. And I looked at the scripture and I said, look here what it says, Bob. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He's got his nose right in the Bible that you may know that you have what? And I turned and he's missing. And he's got his head laid back on the couch. He said, peace. I said, no, Bob, no. I want you to look at the Word of God. These things are written unto you that you might that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have what? The Word of God says eternal life. I wanted him to see and to say eternal life. I turned around and looked and he's got that head laid back. Peace. The third time, I said, Bob, please. Look at this passage of Scripture. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have what? This time it was about four cylinders. He said, peace. I closed my Bible, Brother Jason. I said, Bob, you've got peace. That's all matters. Amen. I'm telling you, if you ever get saved, you'll have peace. And you'll want to give God glory in the church. Amen. You won't want no rock doing your praising. Amen. The Bible said in 2 John chapter 1, verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Romans 1, 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Listen, I've got about 12 or 15 more verses, but I'll just stop and say this. Grace comes before peace. Grace comes before mercy. Amen. God has mercy on our never dying soul. I read this today and I'll leave this with you tonight. I think it illustrates well what we're talking about. I've never read this before. I'd heard a little bit similar story years ago. But a story is told about Fiorella LaGuardia, who, when he was the mayor of New York City during the worst days of the Great Depression and all of World War II, was called by the adoring New Yorkers the Little Flower, because he was only 5'4", and he always wore a carnation in his lapel. He was a colorful character who used to ride the New York City fire trucks, raid speakeasies with the police department, take entire orphanages to baseball games. Boy, that's a mayor, ain't it? They'd go down to orphanage and get them all and take them to a ball game. I'd say he bought them peanuts and hot dogs, wouldn't you, Brother David? Something to drink, amen? Anyway, whenever the New York newspapers were on strike, he'd get on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at a night court that served the poorest ward of the city. LaGuardia, the mayor, he dismissed the judge for the evening, and he took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen, he refused to drop the charges. "It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor," the man told the mayor. "She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he pronounced sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into the famous sombrero, saying, "Here is the $10 fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread." So that her grandchildren can eat. "Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." So the following day, the New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount being contributed by that red-faced grocery store owner. While some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and New York City policemen included, each of them had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, they gave the mayor a standing ovation. That's a picture. Hey, listen. When I knelt that night, Brother David, we've got two Davids now. We're all messed up. We're going to have three Davids in here Sunday. Amen. But listen. When I knelt that night, all I wanted to do was escape the damnation of hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I believed that Jesus died for me and shed his blood. I believed that he rose again. But all that was on my mind is I did not want to go to hell. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" This woman, she would have been tickled to death, Brother Houston, just to get out of there without having to pay a fine. But she got out of there and didn't have to pay the fine. Glory to God, somebody paid it for her. Hallelujah tonight. In the grace of God, he paid it for us. But he didn't stop there. He took up an offering. And he's been dumping it in my soul ever since. Amen. What a blessing it is tonight to be a child of the King. To know that coming down the road right behind grace is mercy. And right behind mercy is peace. February 22nd, 1987. Evening service at Landmark Baptist Church. Ever since that day, I've never laid down one night, not one, worried about what would happen to me if I died. Now, I've laid awake all night sometimes, into the wee hours of the morning sometimes, and then fell asleep exhausted, troubled about other things. But I'm telling you, God can give you a dose of peace. It'll last you the rest of your life. You'll never have to worry about it. And God does that so we can turn, listen to me tonight, our concern to others. The devil would like nothing more for you to spend the rest of your life looking in the mirror. And God wants to give you a peace where you know it's settled in your heart so that you can turn your attention to others to help somebody else. How many's glad you come tonight? How many knows there's more on the plate? I hope you'll just start reading ahead a little bit in Ephesians. Amen. Get ahead of me a little bit. That'll help. Amen. Just stop every once in a while and say, God, I want to give you glory. I want to give you glory in my home. I want to give you glory in my life. I want to give you glory in the church. Let's stand tonight. Our hearts and minds clear.